but I want you to turn with me to Psalms 78. I love the sound of children. It does not bother me. Thank God for the sounds of those little voices in the sanctuary, because if we didn't have them, you know what I'm saying? So we thank the Lord for that. Psalm 78, phenomenal chapter, marvelous chapter. And I just want to read the first three verses to you this morning. You ready? It says this: "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I utter dark sayings of old." Isn't that kind of a mystery? Yeah, "I utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Dark sayings of old. I mean, these things that he is about to share in the parable, not revealed by the naked eye. These things will be spiritually discerned. Parables were that way. A lot of people didn't understand. A lot of people didn't get it. This is a history psalm. It falls in the category of about six psalms in the book that really deal with history. The German philosopher Hegel said that the one thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. Yeah, that's pretty true. If you study the Bible and church history, you discover that God's people make the same mistake. As Asaph reviewed the history of his people in this psalm, he saw a sad record of forgetfulness and faithlessness and foolishness and failure. And so he sought to understand what it all meant. He's trying to make sense of their history and where they are in that history. Give ear. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers, that's a big line right there, and our fathers have told us. Our dads invested in us. Jesus quoted this statement of the psalmist when, after telling the parable of the leaven, he sent the multitude away. And you can read about that in Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And he revealed the truth of the parable after everybody was out of the building to his disciples. Truth was concealed from those who wouldn't believe, those who did not have ears to hear. Jesus really didn't spend a lot of time wasting time on people that he knew wouldn't pay attention. Isn't that something? The psalmist found hidden truth in history, and he's going to prove that in this chapter. Jesus revealed hidden truth in nature. Both the psalmist and the Savior opened their respective books to show how fully God had revealed himself. He's not a hidden God. He wants to be known. He wants to be made visible to us. And I love that. History and nature attest alike to the revelation God has given of himself in his word. If you want to see Jesus, man, open your Bible. He's on every page. God is screaming, "Here I am. Hey, come on, look at me. I'll reveal myself. I'll show myself. I'll present myself to you." And what a privilege it is to be able to know God and walk with God and see God at work within our lives. Absolutely. In verses 4 through 11, the psalmist appeals to God's people to diligently teach their children the truth about God as revealed in all of his dealings with them in the past. And I just want to take a moment. I want to read verses 4 to 7 to you right now. And you know, when I was preparing this message, I thought, okay, baby dedication, pivotal, you know, big part of the service. Memorial Day, military, where can I find a passage of scripture that I can hit both bases? I think I did it right here. Yay! Yeah, thank you for that. Hey, come on, lady, support me up here. All right, beginning at verse number 4, listen to this. "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known to their children. This is a passage dealing with kids, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Hey, come on, mom, dad, share it with your kids, because then they will be able one day to pass it on down the line. I think one of the worst attitudes that a parent can develop and adopt is to say, as so many do, I'm not going to force, you know, religion on my kids. I want them to be liberated. I don't want to cramp their style. I'm going to let them make up their own minds when they're old enough. Are you kidding me? So in the meantime, during those impressionable years, the world just kind of forces its view upon our kids. Godless teachers and companions begin to mold and shape and fashion their tender little minds and hearts. Listen, one principle that has never changed in Scripture, Old Testament or New, is that God holds parents accountable. Yeah, we like that word, for the spiritual instruction of their children. Yeah. I know there are times when parents have brought, when I was a youth pastor especially, they bring their children, they expect the youth pastor, the youth ministries, to fix all of the problems. But listen, ministries of the church are there to support you, mom and dad, in the work that God has assigned to you as the parent. We'll back you up. We'll do everything we can to help you along, equip you to do the work. But really, that's a responsibility that basically falls upon mom and dad. You look there in this, these verses we just read. We will not hide them. Well, hide what? The revelations God has made concerning himself. We're not going to hide that from our kids, from their children, telling to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord. Hey, you know what we're going to do in front of our kids? We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to tell them our own personal history as a family, our own heritage. We're going to let the kids know as they grow up what God has done for us. What God has done, you know, in our family history. How good and faithful. How abundantly kind and merciful God has been to us. He commanded our fathers that they should make known. Make what known? The Lord's testimonies and laws known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, who should arise and declare them to their children. We're not going to hide from our kids who God is. We're not going to sneak around. We're going to publicize it to our family. So here it is. The father is to teach the son. The son is to teach the grandson. The grandson is to teach the great-grandson. Man, truth is to be handed on diligently from generation to generation. Keep passing it on down the line. Like, you know, a relay runner, you know, handing off his baton. We're in a race. Yeah, we're in a race. So my generation, I'm going to pass it on. The race has to continue. Our goals still have to be pursued in Christ. We still, as a family, have to bring glory and honor to the Lord. And the next generation that follows us, we got to leave a legacy, don't you see? The greatest inheritance that you can leave your kids will never be found in the bank or in a mattress, you know, on your bed. The greatest heritage that you can give your kids is your faith. Your faith. And all you're giving, when we give to our kids, we maybe sometimes give too much to our kids. But the primary purpose of being a parent under God, I'm going to pass on to you, son, you, daughter, my faith. I want you to know who God is. I want you to know how God has revealed himself in Scripture to you. The result of this handing off, this, you know, this passing on of spiritual truth from one generation to the next, you see that there in verse number 7, that they may set their hope. Hope's a good thing. Can you say amen? We live in a world that's stressed out. Where are you going to find hope? And if you have any in your heart, where are you going to put it? Hey, set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. As you don't forget the works of God, how faithful God has been, it will help you to obey God. You don't want to break the heart of he who has been so faithful to you and serving you, guiding you and helping you. Truth my father held will become truth I hold. Okay? Truth I hold will become truth my son, my daughter holds. But please understand, it's not truth I hold just because my father held it. It's truth I hold because it is true. God's word is true. With great confidence, we can just pass it on down the line. We can hand it off. Listen, hon, it's worked for me. God has seen me through challenging times, personal struggles, but he's kept me on my feet. He's helped me when I've been sick, when I should have been swept away. God has been faithful to me, honey, and he'll be faithful to you. And that fosters hope within the heart at any age. Honey, my God, your God. What greater thing can you pass on to your children than your God? Isn't that something? Oh, that's exciting. God has commanded this kind of instruction, and guaranteed he's going to bless it. God's word is true. Time tested and proven. He is not a man that he should lie. He honors his word. He keeps his word. His character is flawless. Man, what a God. You can pass him on with great confidence. Now in verses 8 to 11, the psalmist points out what will happen if you don't indoctrinate your children. Yeah, he started out in verses 4 to 7 there just saying, hey, indoctrinate your kids. Now he's going to tell you what will happen if you don't. If you just throw your hands up and say, they'll find their own way. You know, they'll do their own thing. Listen to what he says beginning in verse number 8. Okay, let me find it here. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. He says, come on, indoctrinate your kids. But if you don't indoctrinate your kids, this is what's going to happen. The children of Ephraim, bearing arms and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep their covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. I mean, this wasn't something hidden. God had revealed his heart, his nature, his character, and they absolutely forgot it all. There was a breakdown in this line of communication in Israel's history, and as a result, I mean, chaos sets in. Just absolute and utter chaos. The psalmist insists on biblically training our children. Why? So that they may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. You know, teach them to respect the Lord, not to reject the Lord. Teach them to go after God with their whole heart. He cites the example here of Ephraim. Probably more than just a sighting of the individual tribe, but to the northern kingdom that had split from Judah and Benjamin when Rehoboam became king in 1 Kings 12. What happened at that point in Jewish history? Well, I'll tell you what happened. The leaders of Israel abandoned the faith of their fathers. Yes, they did. They really did. And established a religion of their own making. You know, there's a lot of religions being made and manufactured today that kind of just appeals and pleases the flesh. A religion that will give you whatever you want without any kind of sacrifice or commitment. No cross involved, no dying to self. You know what I'm saying? No. Established a religion of their own making while the people of Judah, they sought to be faithful to God. 10 tribes of Israel will go off on their own and never be heard of again. never be heard of again. Ephraim no longer had a vital, dynamic faith grounded in a historical revelation. Verse 9 says, they turned back in the day of battle. In other words, defeat and disgrace came upon the tribe because it no longer had a dynamic, historical faith in a living God. They had forgotten. They had turned away. They had rejected the teaching of their forefathers. And here's the sad thing. They knew the foundational teaching. It wasn't something that they had never heard, nothing they had never learned. They knew failure to pass on vital spiritual truth resulted in just an utter collapse of the nation's character. It's been said that a change in circumstances doesn't overcome a flaw in character. Can you say amen? Yeah, I mean, and the history here of Israel kind of proves that. Whether they were living in Egypt or traveling in the wilderness or dwelling in the promised land, the people of Israel were prone to want their own way and to rebel against the Lord. Aren't you glad people don't do that today? You know, there are people that go to church every Sunday that still want their own way. And if God asks them to do something, they say, I'll get back to you. I'll put you on hold. I'll make up my mind, you know. I'll flip a coin. No, no, no. If God speaks to your heart, if God reveals it to you in his word, there's no option. God doesn't issue options. He issues commands because he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for your kids. Modern day, you know, psychology. No, 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 no. Stick with the word of God. Obey the word of the Lord. What happens to a nation with fails to pass on spiritual truth to its children? Well, look, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Why did the men, and since this is Memorial Day, this is where I did it. Why did the men of E Company, Easy Company, see, they wanted things to be easy. They wanted to do the easy stuff, the fun stuff, the stuff that really didn't require a lot of discipline or commitment. Why did the guys of E Company not have courage and confidence and the power of conviction when the heat of battle was on? None of these guys in this division ever won a Medal of Honor or a Purple Heart. What? They were never wounded in battle. They never went to war. Yeah, sure, they liked the wearing of the uniform, you know, snappy. Look at those buttons shine in the sun. Like a Marine drill team, you know, flipping their rifles around. Don't you love that? Oh, man, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, smart. Woo. Yeah, smart. How about marching in parades? Wow. Yeah, we liked a Memorial Day parade yesterday. Sat on the porch and watched it. Stunning. Stunning. If you've never been in Duncan for one of those parades, you're really missing something. You need to get over here and sit there and watch it. It doesn't take long. Doesn't take long. Few things going by there, and then about 900 fire trucks. And I said to Michelle, I said, boy, this would be a great time for our house to catch on fire. Because there's like 5,000, not that I set it on fire, but there's like 50,000 New Buffalo came over. Every kind of fire truck that you wanted right there, just going by the house. Yeah, Ash. And so, but you know, marching in parades. Wearing the uniform, marching in parades. Hey, target practice. You talk about these guys of Easy Company. Hey, it says there, they had bows. Oh, man, their arrows were spit-shined. Oh, they were deadly. They hit the bullseye every time. They were probably the greatest archers that had ever been. They could get the job done, but they never won a battle because they never fought one. Oh, yeah, we'll march. We'll have shiny buttons. You know, we'll hit the target, but come on. Their strategy was, well, let's blind the enemy with the dust cloud we create as we're running away. The enemy's there. The enemy's approaching. We got the answer to this problem right here. we're going to turn around and run. And as we're running, tremendous dust cloud. It's going to get in your eyes. You won't be able to see us. You're going to be choking on this. And you know what? Their conclusion must have been, because they turned their back and took off, you know, must have been, well, you know what? If we get out of this thing alive, we'll take that as a victory. And there are some people, when it comes to their commitment of the Lord, that pretty much are the same way. They like to march around. They like to have the shiny buttons. They like to go through the motions, you know, of being the soldier of God. But when the battle's on, when the rubber meets the road, they're just nowhere to be found. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we have the appearance. You know, we know the lingo, we know the cadence, we can stay in step with each other, but are we in step with God? And so you see that over and over again in the Bible. Jesus preached it, the minor prophets scream it about being the real deal, being a soldier on the outside, but more importantly, one on the inside. I have fought the fight, I've run the race, I've kept the faith. Yeah. Run the race. But don't run away from the enemy in the name of the Lord. Run to the enemy like David did. Goliath had never had someone run toward him. They always ran away. Why? Because they didn't have God on the inside. And if you lose God, you might as well forget about winning. But David said, come on, let's get this on, you big ugly monster, you. That might not be in your Bible, but that's a paraphrase. And I think it works pretty good. No victories, no medals, no company citations, because the Bible says in verses 10 and 11, this is why they couldn't win. Don't you understand? Listen, they didn't keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. What more? If I'm God, I'm flustered with the whole shooting match. You know, one day he said to Moses, you know what, these people, come on, why don't we do this, Mo? Why don't you let me wipe out this whole nation and we'll start it all over again with just you? Boy, if God made you that offer, wow. There are days, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, let's just wipe everybody on the planet out and you can start over with it. He made that because he knew the heart of Moses, that Moses wouldn't go for that. No. So the psalmist declares here, and this is his theme, and we'll wrap it up with this, and then we'll go eat together. How about that? All right. Ours is a historical faith. We must pass on its historical basis in fact and in experience to our children. Our kids, as they grow up, they've got to experience God firsthand. You know, mama's faith, not enough. You know, daddy's faith, not enough. Although it's critically important that you share. I remember the words that Paul said to Timothy. You know, he says, hey, you know, I remember the faith of your grandmama, you know, Eunice, and I remember the faith of your mama, Lois. And I'm confident that their faith has been invested in you, Tim. You know, so we've been talking about fathers. But the faith of a grandmama, the faith of a mama, you know, where did the mama get to her faith? She got it from her mama. And they just kept passing it on down the line. I don't know what happened to Tim's father. He's never mentioned. But maybe you grew up in a home where there is no daddy. Hey, how about that spiritual mama? How about the prayers of a spiritual mama? Huh? How many great men in church history write about the fact that their mama was praying for them and they went on to accomplish great things, but they always came back to say, what enabled me to do what I have done is my mama was praying for me. My mama invested her faith in me. Dad, mom, make the investment. They need to hear you pray. Yeah, they need to watch you worship. They need to see you live the life, not just on Sunday. You know, this is pretty easy. This is where we come together and wear our uniforms and do our marching, and you know what I'm saying? But listen, sometimes the battlefield is outside of the walls of the church. And when you're going to walk with God all week long, your kids need to see that your faith is solid and strong when times are hard, when you make a mistake, when you need to ask them to forgive you. Yeah. Faith that is tested and proven. If we do that, God will bless us. If we don't, there will be a decay of national character that will absolutely make us a laughingstock in the face of our enemies. I think about the ones who faced these men of Easy Company, and they knew them. They knew their character. They knew that they would crumble at the first sound of a bugle, and all they had to do was yell charge, and these guys would retreat. And they became a joke to the enemy. We're in a spiritual battle today. If that were not true, then we wouldn't need to put on the armor of God, right? Have you read your Bibles lately? Yeah. It says, put on the whole armor and doing all we can in the strength of the Lord to stand. Hey, we stand. There you go. And I think in our country, there's a line that needs to be drawn, and we don't need to run. We need to make a stand. Whether we live or die, we stand. Huh? And if we go down, we go down swinging. Yeah, baby. But knock me down. I'll get back up in the name of the Lord. You can't count out a believer who is being obedient to the will and the ways of God. Knock me down. I'll get back up. End with this. I was watching the news the other evening, and a remarkable story came on. Have you heard about Generation Z? What a neat generation. Generation Z. I'm a baby boomer. What is that? I want to be a member of Generation Z. These are kids who have been born from 1997 and after. Oh, yeah, these are the young ones of today. Yeah. It is on track to be the most educated generation ever. That's not my generation. I missed out on that one. Okay. To give you a sense of their place in time, almost all have never known life without a smartphone. You know, I use a flip phone, and I heard somebody call it the other day a dumb phone. And I said to Michelle, is that really what they call them? She said, yeah, it is. So I just slipped it back in my pocket and didn't say anything else. Well, what they said next was it was somewhat amazing. And I thought, boy, I'm watching the 700 Club, or this must be a Christian station. But I didn't think it was. I thought it was secular news. And sure enough, they said, in regards to Generation Z, there is a phenomenal move on right now of young men in Generation Z who are turning to Christianity and taking upon themselves conservative views. And I stopped and I rewound that. And they said they are coming to God in Christianity by the scores. And these, we're talking 13 to what, 20, early 20s? Just tons of young men who are coming to God at that age of Generation Z. And I sat back and I said, oh God, are we on the threshold of a Jesus revolution here? Are you raising up a generation right now of young men that are just going to shake our country? You know, it's always been the young who fights the battles, who goes to war. Yeah. Not the old guys. No, it's always the young guys that get drafted. And right now, it would appear to me that God is drafting these men of Generation Z in just a phenomenal way. So what I want you to do is I want you to pray. And we're going to pray right now for those characters that I've never met. That God will just birth in our land. I'm not giving up on America yet. Too many men and women have laid their lives down to lay the foundation. The faith of our fathers. God has promised, hey, raise them up And when they are old, come on. I'm not giving up on America. Let's just pray for a move of God amongst young people in this nation, a move of God in the hearts of our children. Boom. What do you say? Generation Z. I got to get a sweatshirt. It says something like, I want to be a part of that one. Yeah. Father, we thank you right now that you have made promises to us as parents, not just on sunny days, but rainy days and every day, that as we commit our children to you, you take them, you hold them, you will help to shape and mold them. Help our parents, Lord. It's not an easy job. It's difficult at times. It's stressful, Lord God. You wonder if you're doing a good job. Be with mom and dad, especially the new moms and dads of our church. May your healing balm just be applied. May you just comfort them as only you can do, Holy Spirit. And raise the children, Lord Jesus, of this fellowship to be men and women who will serve you with their whole heart. And for this Generation Z and this move that seems to be taking place that even the secular world is taking note of, we pray for a mighty army that will rise up in our nation, that, Lord God, they'll have Christian values, but more importantly, they'll have the Christ of the Christian. And Lord, we just ask that you will do a very, very special work. And once again, we thank you for the children that you have given to us. We thank you for Asher and his wonderful lungs. He's going to grow up to be a preacher man. I don't doubt for a moment. And Father, we pray continued blessings upon Lainey, Jordan, and Lindsay. Lord, thank you so much for all that you're doing for us. In Jesus' name.